We turn now to the massive cargo ships sitting idle at ports all along the West Coast. No one is unloading them, and it's all because of a huge labor dispute. The Pacific Maritime Association, which represents about 70 shipping companies, said it wouldn't pay dock workers extra to work over the President's Day weekend. 20,000 West Coast workers are part of the powerful International Longshore and Warehouse Union, and they've been in contract negotiations since May. The conflict is bad news for them, but also for businesses in general. The West Coast has 29 different ports, which are responsible for 43% of all container traffic in the United States. So over the weekend, President Obama sent Labor Secretary Tom Perez to mediate the dispute on the West Coast. The takeaways: West Coast affiliates have been on top of the story on the ground, from the dispute between shippers and workers to the economic ripple effects for businesses throughout the country.
Over the weekend, a federal mediator asked both sides to stop talking to media about how things are going, but union spokesman Craig Merrilees has said closures are counterproductive.
We're dealing with big, powerful multinational corporations, most of them foreign-based, and they may feel casual about closing the ports for the West Coast, but I don't think anybody that lives here does.
This is the second weekend in a row there's been a lockout. The Maritime Association claims dockworkers are purposely slowing down operations to gain the upper hand. The longshoremen refute this and say the association is using the media against them to divide the union. San Diego is a smaller port, but larger places like Long Beach and L.A. are seeing a massive buildup of ships.
This labor dispute has been building since last spring. Lately, congestion at the docks has intensified, and the Seattle-based negotiator for the shipping companies, the Pacific Maritime Association, has been squabbling in public with the Port Workers Union.
Our thanks to reporter Sarah Hosseini at KQED in San Francisco, Taryn Mento at KPBS in San Diego, and Carolyn Adolph at KUOW in Seattle, Washington, for those reports. Now for more on the economic impact of the port showdown, we're joined by Mark Levinson. He's author of The Box: How the Shipping Container Made the World Smaller and the World Economy Bigger. Mark Levinson, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hi, Todd.
Well, starting with the longshoremen, unions may certainly be on the wane everywhere else in the American economy, but the longshoremen are strong.
The West Coast longshoremen have all of the docks organized on the Pacific, and that's true. They are strong in that way. On the other hand, one of the underlying issues in this dispute is the continued automation and continued technological advance on the docks, which is really potentially going to weaken the position of the union and cost some jobs for its members.
What kind of ripple effects so far has the alleged slowdown? And of course, the union denies that there's been a slowdown. The shippers say, no, there has. Have business people been feeling it?
Well, there's some short-term effects and some long-term effects here. The short-term effects are, yes, that you've had a number of shipments delayed for various reasons. For some businesses, this is going to be very costly. For others, it's a minor nuisance. Clearly, we've seen stories of potatoes not exported to Japan and shoes not coming into the United States on time. And so there is some effect there. It's not going to be significant on a national level unless it goes on for a long time. I think the underlying issue, though, is what happens now with the business that comes to the West Coast. And there may be some economic effects there. As you know, next year, the enlarged Panama Canal locks will open. And at that point, it will be possible for larger ships from Asia to come to the U.S. Gulf and Atlantic coasts. And so these folks on the Pacific coast are going to have to fight for their business much harder. And having a labor dispute may encourage some of their traffic to go through the Panama Canal and to the East Coast rather than coming through California and Washington State.
Well, we'll talk about the geopolitics of shipping and the widening Panama Canal in 1 second, Mark Levinson. But in terms of the immediate business effects in California and across the country, I want you to listen to Bob Bibby. He's owner of Pedigo Irvine. He has a bike parts business, and he thinks that this is affecting him. Listen.
At one point, we had three containers just sitting out there floating out in the ocean outside of San Pedro, Long Beach area, and there's nothing we can do about it. I get customers calling on a daily basis, asking where they are, what's happening. I try to tell them to my best ability of what we think's happening, when we think we're going to get them. I feel they're starting to question our integrity, and it's frustrating because there's absolutely nothing that we can do about it.
Mark Levinson, there's at least one businessman who's feeling the direct brunt when he's dealing with his customers.
I think you'll find plenty of stories like that. I think you'll find that because of past problems at the docks, many of the larger importers already diversify their imports to different locations to try and avoid these problems. But if you've got smaller importers who can't do that, smaller exporters who can't do that, or folks whose business is there in California or there in Seattle or Oregon, it's very hard for them to diversify, and they're pretty much stuck.
So there have been reports of some South Korean shippers pulling their ships out of, I want to say orbit, that's not the right word, but floating outside some ports that have slowdowns, sending those ships elsewhere to be offloaded. You mentioned the prospect of shipping traffic going further east through a widened Panama Canal. What's the timeline for these negotiations and whether or not the geopolitics of this type of global shipping that you write about is going to change the balance here?
That's really going to be made on a case-by-case basis by shippers and by the ship lines. We don't know yet what the cost of sending a container ship through the enlarged Panama Canal is going to be. We do know that reliability is a big concern of shippers, and to the extent that they feel the West Coast ports are going to be less reliable, that will encourage them to go through the canal into the East Coast ports. It's possible that the West Coast ports could keep some of this traffic if they operate efficiently, if the railroads serving the West Coast ports keep their rates down. Shippers could continue to ship through Los Angeles, say, and put their containers on trains going east. But having a dispute like this doesn't create a very good atmosphere for that. It certainly doesn't encourage shippers to continue to send most of their cargo through the West.
And quickly, before we let you go, Mark Levinson, the prospects for a deal in the next few days.
This stuff is very hard to handicap. I think we've got now a lot of show going on. They've got the U.S. government involved. But from the outside of a labor negotiation, it's almost impossible to know what's going on the inside.
Sure.
So I wouldn't hazard a guess here.
Mark Levinson is author of The Big Box, How the Shipping Container Made the World Smaller and the World Economy Bigger. Many, many ports along the West Coast facing alleged slowdowns as the longshoremen battle in a labor dispute with the Pacific Maritime Association. Mark Levinson, thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.